scriptures to read. There were no preachers to listen to. There were no written instructions. Give me all you can back here, brother. Just give me all. I have a voice problem. I apologize. I hope it won't be too distracting. How many can understand what I'm saying? Hey, all right, great. All right. There were no Hebrew manuscripts to study, yet men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the word call means to cry out. It means to plead. It means to beseech. It means to beg. It means to call upon others to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is the first reference in the Bible to corporate worship when men, plural, begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want to give you three simple points here this morning. Number one, calling on God identifies the people of God. Calling on God identifies the people of God. The first believers in the Bible were not called Jews. They were not called Christians. They were simply those who call upon the name of the Lord. They knew nothing about our labels. And they knew nothing about Independent Baptist or Southern Baptist or Methodist. They didn't know anything about our traditions. They didn't know anything about all of this. All they knew that there was a God in heaven who heard and answered prayer. I personally believe that the majority of churches in our country right now are satisfied just to keep the plates spinning. How many of you old timers remember those television talent programs like the Ed Sullivan Show? And one of the most popular routines was the plate spinning routine. Remember how they'd get a broom handle and the guy put a plate on it and get it spinning. Then he'd run over here and get another plate spinning. And he'd go all the way across the stage. And the whole thing was just to get the plate spinning. And by the time he got over here, the one that he started with was slowing down. And it was kind of wobbling back and forth, kind of like Baptist heads before North Star on Sunday morning. Amen. And he'd go running across the stage over here, buddy. And he would get that plate spinning again. The whole idea was to keep the plate spinning. How many know that we were a simple lot and it didn't take a whole lot to entertain us back in those days? Amen. I mean, things ain't improved a whole lot with Angry Birds. But anyhow, that's just the way it was. And I believe the majority of churches are satisfied just to keep the plates going, spinning, just to keep the programs going. And the more aggressive churches really believe that the more plates you got spinning, the more successful you really are. There's a man in New York City, Jim Cimbala. He has 3,000 people show up every week for decades for a prayer meeting. Somebody said to him, how do you get 3,000 people to come out and pray every week? He said, when your people really believe that God hears and answers prayer, it's no problem to get them to come and pray. I just did a prayer summit last weekend. We had a handful of people. We had a church of, 1,500, 1,000 people. Handful come out. Why? Because the reason people don't come to prayer meetings is because they no longer believe that God really hears and answers a prayer. Now, when Enos was born, they begin to petition, they begin to call, they begin to plead, they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you and deliver you. You know, we've had some health hiccups in our family, like some of you. I mean, hang on, it's coming. You know what I'm saying? But we had a few health hiccups. I went up to the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, to get a particular MRI, and the lady took me aside, and she said, now, Mr. Vaughn, I have to ask you some interview questions. I said, go ahead. She said, well, Mr. Vaughn, she said, now, what was your gender at birth? I'm sure I misunderstood her. I said, pardon me, thank you. What did you, Mr. Vaughn, what was your gender at birth? I said, don't ask me any more stupid government questions. She repeated again, what was your gender? This is where we're at. New York City has 64 gender designations. I'll just say this to you this morning. If you don't like the way you were born, try getting born again and that'll solve that problem for you right there. But anyhow, so we got out of there because who knows what could happen to a fella in a place like that, amen? So we got out of that place. We went over to Hopkins, man. You know, how many know when you check in the hospital, they give you a hospital gown? How many know there's a desperate shortage of fabric for hospital gowns? How many know there's no back in hospital gowns? So I asked her for a second gown. I have one on the front, but he had one on the back, man. I'm trying to practice, which is impossible to be modest in a hospital. But how many know when you get in a situation like that, that's a good time to call upon the name of the Lord? Physical problems, emotional problems. How many know that some of the people in the Bible had serious emotional depression issues? How many understand? Do you understand that? What about financial problems? What about family problems? What about relational problems? Well, in Genesis chapter 4 is where it all started. Men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to tell you that Abraham built an altar and he called on God. Isaac built his altar and he called on God. This was in place long before the tabernacle or the temple. And the altar of prayer is the place that God has ordained for men to find help in time of need. Your life might be a mess, but I'm telling you, when you call on God, it grasps the attention of heaven. Now, this is a trademark of God's people. They call upon the name of the Lord. Now, every good thing that God has made available is obtained by prayer. Every good thing that God has made available is obtained by prayer. Every promise in the Bible is activated by calling on God. Every mercy offered is found by calling on God. Bartimaeus would still be blind if he hadn't called upon the name of the Lord. Every restoration and fellowship begins by calling upon the name of the Lord. It's the identifying mark of God's people. And God only has one type of people in any dispensation, and that's those who call upon the name of the Lord. It's the identifying mark of God's people. And if you're here and you never call upon the name of the Lord, you are not God's people. But you can be if you'll call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Amen. Point number two, calling on God is independent of the political situation. Even in Buchanan without Starbucks, you should have said amen on that point right there. Calling on God is independent of the political situation. You don't have to get the situation straightened out before you start calling on God. Look, consider the post-Eden apostasy. Nobody was calling on God. Yet, in chapter 4, verse 26, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. I personally think that Christians, it's time we got our eyes off Capitol Hill and got our eyes back on a hill called Calvary. Amen. For the last 5 decades, church people have been more interested in who occupies the White House than the presence of God in the church house. And I'm telling you, it's just not right. Now look at the religious chaos in Elijah's day. I mean, prophets of Baal running out of their ears. How many understand that most churches in America are not God's churches, they're Satan's churches? Does anybody other than me understand this? Everybody's all worried about churches closing. If half of the churches closed, it would be a boon to the kingdom of God. It wouldn't hurt a thing. It would help something. Good preaching, Brother Harold. If you don't understand what I just said, give me after service and I'll help you out. Now, in Elijah's day, nobody was calling on the Baal people that were over here. So Elijah challenged Ahab to gather up the prophets of Baal. And he said, now look, let them call on Baal. I'll call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So they said, this is a good plan. So they got the prophets of Baal. They cried, they called, they cut themselves trying to get Baal's attention until they were exhausted, but nothing happened. And then Elijah stands up and he says, oh God, hear my prayer. And the fire fell from heaven. Baal worship was prevalent, but that didn't keep Elijah from calling upon the name of the Lord. And it don't make any difference what's happening in our culture. It don't make any difference if we have a governor that thinks you ought to slaughter and commit infanticide of children after they are born. And in Jesus' name, I just want to say something here this morning. Right is right, wrong is wrong, murder is wrong, and killing children in or out of the womb is a sin against Almighty God. And if you're more dedicated to a political party than the moral law of God, you need to get born again. I'm just telling you that here this morning. It's a high time somebody said something. This ain't a political issue. This is a moral issue. Is anybody in the house with me on this point right now? Now, listen, we think that the idolaters, the Baal worshipers, the, same-sex, but we think these are evildoers. But can I give you God's definition of an evildoer? Can I give you God's definition of an evildoer? Listen to this in Psalm 14. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who call not upon the name of the Lord? God said, these workers of iniquity are people that don't call on God. Psalm 79, pour out your wrath upon the heathen that have not called upon thy name. God said the heathen are people who don't call upon his name. And listen to Jeremiah 10. Pour out your fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families, and upon the families that call not upon your name. God said the families that don't call on God are heathen in his sight. You think it's possible we got some heathen families here this morning? You think it's possible we got some heathen sitting right here? You know, we're all upset about the other crowd. I'm telling you, it's about time we got concerned about our own households. And that's what I'm telling you. Now listen, trouble is one of God's greatest servants. Trouble is one of God's greatest servants. Trouble is a call to prayer. Sickness is a call to prayer. Worship, or rather affliction, is a call to worship. How often does God send us trouble to wake us up so we'll start calling upon the name of the Lord? I have a friend who had a heart attack, and he said it was his wake-up call. That's what he called it, heart attack, wake-up call. I said, wouldn't it be good if we could get woke up without having to get that call? You got an opportunity this morning to get woke up without getting the call, amen? By calling upon the name of the Lord. Trouble is one of the main ways that God talks to us. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Now, what difference does it make how many people show up to church on Sunday if God doesn't show up? And if God doesn't attend a church, why should anybody else? You know what fundamental is that? We preached faithfulness to an institution for 50 years. We should have been preaching a faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you got that, you got the rest of it. Now listen, if you want to energize a conservative congregation in America, you don't appeal to them on the basis of spiritual things. If you want to get a rouse out of a conservative church, you don't talk to them about spiritual stuff. You talk to them about politics, heretics, sports, or patriotism. Look, if Rush Limbaugh was to show up at the Berglund Center tomorrow, the place would be packed. Call a prayer meeting in the Berglund Center. You tell me how many's going to show up. You tell me. I mean, you know, who ever heard of a prayer advance anyhow? I mean, what in the world is this? So you know, the point being, if there's not singing or entertaining preaching, the majority of people are simply not interested. And the way you measure a ministry is not by its political preferences, but by whether they call upon the name of the Lord. I so appreciate your pastor and his emphasis and trying to get the church to call upon the name of the Lord. This is tremendous. Now, right doctrine is important, but it's not all important, because who cares what you believe if you don't call upon the name of the Lord? And it's independent of the cultural currents. Now look, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you call on God. When Harold Vaughn is full of the Holy Ghost, intercessions and needs pour out of his heart continually. Now the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. Now, the Jews and the disciples, when Jesus showed up, they thought he was going to overthrow the Roman, the corrupt. They thought he was going to drain the swamp. And you can't drain the swamp when the swamp is the one that sends the swamp dwellers to D.C., amen? But that's just no charge for that. Now, the point being, the Jews and disciples thought that Jesus was going to overthrow this pagan intruder and put an end to their bondage to Rome. Peter got so worked up one time. Remember how he took out his sword and he went for the soldier's head, but missed, sliced off his ear. First instance of miracle ear in the Bible, amen? And Jesus had to reattach the ear on the side of his head and told him to put up the sword. Now, Jesus never advocated violence, never. He never called for a boycott. He never joined a militia. He didn't. And when the Spirit of God came on the early church, let me tell you what happened. They gave up on politics in the book of Acts, and they started calling upon the name of the Lord. They forgot about their political revolution because God gave them a spiritual revolution. And I want to tell you, revival is revolution. It's a overthrow of sin, of self, and of Satan. And they stopped trying to reform the system, and they got focused on a kingdom not of this world. And when God pours out his Spirit, a new paradigm comes. And I'm telling you, Jesus himself had little to say about the oppressive Roman government. If anybody would be upset, you would think, if anybody would be upset with Rome's dominance over Israel, you would think it would be the Son of God who gave Abraham and his descendants the land of Israel. But he had there was a strange silence. He had hardly anything to say about government. You read it. Now, the only thing he ever said was, pay your taxes. Huh? How many got a refund? Anybody got a refund? How many hope you're going to get a refund? Amen. How many don't like paying taxes? Well, Jesus said, pay your taxes. Don't be upset with me. That's what he said. Amen. And then he said, tell that fox Herod where to get off. That's all he ever said. Now, a pagan government had dominance over God's covenant people, and the land of Israel was occupied by the Romans, but he never advocated a take Israel back campaign. Remember how the preachers used to get up on TV and talk about take America back? Take it back from what? Take it back. What are we talking about here? As if we are a second Israel. I thank God for America. And if you don't like this country, you ought to go to a third world country where they ain't got nothing. And if America is so bad, why do the liberals want to import all of South America into our country in the first place? No extra charge for that. I shouldn't have said that because I'm trying to get away from this issue. But anyhow, Jesus himself would be unjustly crucified. But listen, Rome couldn't keep him from fulfilling his mission. And can I say this? Regardless of what our culture throws at us, there's still good news in the gospel. And our job is not to save the culture. Our job is to save souls. And I'm just telling you, the world passed away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, Paul was not wringing his hands because of the injustices. How many know that injustice is going to happen in a fallen world where people have rejected God? How many understand that there's going to be injustice? I just got ripped off for $5,000. I'm thanking God it wasn't $50,000, amen? I mean, you're gonna have to start looking at it that way. Paul wasn't upset about the injustices. The church wasn't having a nervous breakdown because the government passed another bad law back in those days. Now, listen, the Church of the Living God is unaffected by Congress. Say hallelujah on that point right there. Our affordable health care will cost our ministry $50,000 this year. Affordable for three people. The early church, here we are worried about health care. The early church was worried about hellfire. And I just want to tell you, all of this stuff's going to come and all of this stuff is going to go. Don't get too bent out of shape about all of this. The Church of God is unaffected by the United Nations, unaffected by North Korea, unaffected by the humanists and the liberals. And I'm just here to tell you, we got a job to do that requires we call upon the name of the Lord, and nobody can stop us but us. Amen. And all of the emphasis on politics is a distraction from the fact that the average church is without the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is without the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I say something to you here this morning? I'm a Baptist by conviction, but can I say something to you here this morning? That the kingdom of God is bigger than your group.
Amen.
Say amen, honey.
Amen.
Have to prod my wife to say amen. Now, the point being that the kingdom of God operates on different principles. And we were more committed to our traditions and our notions and our methods than we are to the Spirit of God. We fall into idolatry and the Spirit of God takes its flight. And that's why the average church in America never sees a supernatural move of God. Now, my brother, my sister, I'm just here to tell you, if they pass a law against prayer, so what? Keep on praying. Amen. If they pass a law against evangelism, so what? They told the disciples to shut up about Jesus, but they couldn't help but speak the things they had seen and heard. How can an earthly kingdom, stop the kingdom of God when the one who has all authority is with us to the end of the age? Now, you know what happened in the early church? They called on God. 38 references to prayer in the book of Acts. 53 references to the Holy Spirit. They called upon God. And what happened? The fire fell and they detonated tremendous power. Now, I grew up in Southside, Virginia. We all know in Virginia, it's impossible to get the good fireworks legally. You got to know the crooks who's got the good stuff, amen. Amen. And when I was a kid, I knew who had the good stuff. And my cousin and I, we'd go and get cherry bombs. I may remember cherry bombs, amen. Well, it's great, wasn't it? TNTs, hey, M80s, quarter sticks, remember that? Wow. My cousin and I, we'd go load up, and at Christmas, we'd go and we'd shoot these things off. We'd get out there with our cigarillos so we could light the fuses. I never was a smoker, but it's better than matches when the wind's blowing, amen. And we'd fire these things off, and we're having a big time. And we'd buy them by the gross, like 144 per. You know where to get them, brother? See me after service. Now, we were shooting these things off, and dawned on me, Pastor, that my uncle had a half a box of dynamite in an abandoned building on our property that had been there for years. And I thought, now maybe we could use the TNT as the blasting cap. So we went and stole a stick of dynamite. Well, found out later that was not a smart thing to do, but we got it. We ripped off the end. We inserted the M80. We taped the thing up, and then we put a cigarette on the fuse. At least we had enough sense not to try to light the thing and run away. So we put the cigarette on the fuse, right? And we lit it, and we backed way off. How many know how long it takes for a cigarette to burn down when there's not a sucker on the backside of it? It takes a long time for that to happen. Well, we backed off, and that cigarette was burning down, you know. And finally, it got out of the fuse. Sputter, spark, you know. We're full of anticipation, not knowing if it's going to detonate or not. Well, buddy, when that TNT lit off, that exploded, it detonated the stick of dynamite. You should have heard it. And I looked at my cousin, and I said, wonder what 3 or 4 sticks would sound like. So we went and stole more dynamite. We went to his house, and the boys up the road were shooting bottle rockets, pop crackers, sparklers. We got 4 sticks of dynamite. So we rig it up, you know, we'd watched enough Mission Impossible reruns, yeah. You know, we could have been terrorists. And we rigged this thing up, and we put it out in the middle of a field way down behind his parents' house. Well, we put the cigarette closer to the fuse, closer, and we lit it, and we backed off. And we watched. Slowly, slowly, the cigarette burned down, and finally got out of the fuse, and and boy, we're full of anticipation. Now, buddy, when that thing detonated, I've never been around when a nuclear device was set off, but you should have heard the boom, and the earth shook, and dirt began to rain down out of the heavens. And I bet the boys up the road were thinking, where in the world did these guys get the good stuff, man? Here we are with bottle rockets, you know. And it was dark, so we couldn't see what had happened, but his parents came out to plow the field the next spring, and discovered it was gone. It was a chest-high deep hole as big as this entire room right here. It's like we blew the whole field out. It was like a pond, like a crater, like a meteor hit the thing, brother. We got more than we anticipated. And you know when the Spirit of God came on the early church, they turned the world upside down. That is not what they set out to do. They wanted to turn the government around. But God wanted to turn them around. And when they got turned on and turned around, they turned the world upside down. And they forgot about their political revolution because God gave them a spiritual revolution. And I want to say something to you. We're doing all kinds of stuff nowadays. But the main thing we ought to be doing, not the only thing, but the main thing, we ought to be calling upon the name of the Lord in faith. I'm not here to preach about revival. I'm here to preach for revival. I ain't here to talk about somebody. I'm here to get something from God myself, and hopefully we all will, and we ought to be believing for that very, very thing.
That's
right. Calling on God is independent of the political situation. It's identifying a thing of the people of God. But number three, calling on God, it indicates the power of God. I mean, calling on God is the first sign of revival. You know. I've been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I guess, of prayer meetings. You know what most of them are? They're not prayer meetings. They take requests for 30 minutes and pray for 60 seconds, and they call it a prayer meeting. What a joke. A prayer meeting is not the time to do a Greek Bible study. It's the time to call upon the name of the Lord. And when the Spirit of God comes, people call upon the name of the Lord. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name, Psalm chapter 80. Revive us. Enliven us, and we'll call upon your name. There's never been a revival that didn't begin in prayer. When men and women got sick and tired of business as usual, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord, and God answered by fire, which begat more prayer. I mean, calling on God just begets more prayer. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it births the spirit of prayer, and a praying heart is the first sign of revival. I say again, when you're full of the Spirit of God, intercessions, prayers pour right out of your heart. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. And when you're full of Him, you sense the need of God everywhere. Now, the church was born in a prayer meeting, continued in a prayer meeting, but most churches never even have a prayer meeting except for the token prayer meeting where nobody touches God and God touches nobody. What would be wrong, Pastor? What would be wrong, church? What would be wrong, evangelist, in saying to the Lord, Lord, what would you have us to subtract?
Amen.
Lord, what would you have us add?
Amen.
Lord, what would you have us change? I have an announcement. Our culture has changed so dramatically. If we're hung up on 50-year-old methods, when the Holy Ghost is operating in the here and now, we might miss out on what God wants. I'm not advocating being a change agent. I'm just saying to the Lord, Lord, what would you have? How would you have us to pray? Lord, how would you have us to operate? That's all I'm saying. And I'm telling you, when a church gets to the point where they don't want to, they're not willing to be open to God's direction, it's over. Most independent Baptist churches in America will be closed in 30 years. They're already dead, but they don't know it. They'll be closed. They're out of business. The Holy Ghost left a long time ago, but they think that they're faithful, and they believe that their faithfulness is evidenced by the fact that they can't connect and they have no fruit. God help us. The early church didn't have a good climate to operate in. It was pagan from top to bottom. Who cares about all that? That ain't got nothing to do with it. When God's in on the situation, it's not tied to the cultural currents. I talked to a pastor the other day. He said, well, brother, I said, well, how's it going? He said, well, brother, you know, with the times being like they are, nothing's happening and ain't nothing going to happen. And he's dead in the water. Y'all listening to me here this morning? I'm going to help you if you let me.
Amen.
I said, dead in the water.
Amen.
We ought to be alive in the spirit is what I'm telling you here. And listen, calling on God, it births a spirit of prayer. Now, the chief means that God uses to rescue the backslider is what? To send them trouble so they'll begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Quicken us and we'll call upon your name. Somebody said most Christians don't have fellowship with God. They had fellowship with one another about God. Whew. Well, we better be getting some fellowship with God. Now, David had an Old Testament body, but he had a New Testament heart. You know what he said? He said, The Lord will hear when I call. Check it out, those Psalms. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, a revived heart is a praying heart. Listen, you read every book, go to every conference, go to every meeting, but until the Spirit of God comes, there will not be this Holy Spirit-inspired groaning and intercessions. Now, the church is a place for more than intellectual enlightenment. I mean, when you come to church, you ought to learn something, but it's more than a place of intellectual instruction, more than a place for an emotional lift. When you come to church, I think you're, by the way, I like going to church and feeling like I've been. Amen. You know, the prune-faced Baptists really bother me. I just got to be honest with you, brother. They look like they got a case of indigestion or need Maalox or got a migraine headache or something. But the church is a place for more than an emotional lift. It should be a place where we're morally changed. People showing up to church on Sunday morning who don't call on God Monday through Saturday does not constitute a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an organization. It's a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. Nonprofit in more ways than one. I can tell you that right now. But you know, the church of God doesn't follow the experts. They follow the Bible. And the people of God who call upon the name of the Lord are the people who crave the presence of God. You ever get hungry for God? You ever just feel something gnawing in your heart? You know, I just need a touch from God, man. And remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road? Because, you know, look, the Messiah has been crucified. The whole dream scheme has gone up in smoke. And here they are walking along depressed. And Jesus pulls up beside of them incognito. And he says, hey, boys, how come you all so sad? And they said, hadn't you heard what's happened? They began to rehearse the whole sorry situation. And then after they finished, Jesus began to expound the things concerning himself from the scripture. Jesus preaching on Jesus. But that's one sermon I'd like to have heard. Amen. Probably started over there in Genesis and went through the whole thing. And they finally got where they were going. And Jesus, they recognized him. The veil was lifted. They saw him. This Son of God. And he disappeared out of their sight. And you know what they said? They said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost talks to you, there's a little heartburn going on, sir. I don't care what your temperament is. I said when the Spirit of God talks to your heart, brother, there's a little holy heartburn going on. I don't know about you, but I need some holy heartburn. I'm in constantly. I fall away so quick, Pastor Boone. I can't understand it. How come I get in the middle of a mighty move of God and then the testing and the temptations and the trials come. And lo and behold, before I know it, I've stepped out of line. I have to get back in step with the Spirit. But thank God we can get back in step. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? A little holy heartburn is what we need here this morning. Now, revival begins when the people who've not been calling on God begin to call upon the name of the Lord. The backslider's hope is not to clean up his act first, but to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And God will help him along the way as that goes on. And let's be honest here this morning. Let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest. Are you more worried about the fact that your family and church members and friends might find out about your sins? Are you more worried about that than the fact that God already knew about them before you committed them? There have been times in my life when I'd be more concerned that Pastor Boone, who I consider to be a good friend, I would be more worried about the fact that he found out about my secret sins than the fact that God already knows about them. The fear of man is bringing a snare here is what's going on. And you know something, do you? Is prayer a priority? You know, I pray sometimes. I pray sometimes. But can I tell you something? I can get into a mode where I can go for hours without consulting God. I can even get in a mode where I can go for days and I'll say some prayers, but I never pray a prayer. Does anybody know what I just said right there? Now, what is this? a wandering heart. What is this? God, quicken me. God, enliven me. God, revive me, and then I'll call upon your name. I want to just say that heartfelt prayer is the genesis of revival. And calling on God, it indicates the power of God. It identifies the people of God, and it's independent of the cultural landscape. Genesis chapter 4, nothing was happening, but men began to call upon the name of the Lord. There was a time, a place, a day, and an hour when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And I believe the time has come for us to start calling seriously upon the name of the Lord. How many here in the house this morning have some personal and family needs? Lift your hands. Everybody's got needs. Everybody's got needs. How many have an emergency? Anybody got a crisis? Got an emergency? Okay, we got some emergencies going on here. Everybody's got needs. Some have emergencies. You know what we all ought to be doing? Calling upon the name of the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with how we feel. I didn't feel like coming to church today. 2 weeks ago, I was in Mexico. Last weekend, we was in Ohio. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I was in Colorado. And I've been in more time zones or more airplanes and sorry seats than I can count. And you know what I mean? It ain't got nothing to do with how I feel. They begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And brother and sister, let's start this morning by calling upon the name of the Lord. You got a crisis, call upon the name of the Lord. We'll pray with you, okay? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, we'll believe God with you. How many phone calls have I gotten in the last 7 days? Prostate cancer. Emergency rooms. Sudden griefs. Paraplegia. I mean, how many things have you heard about? All not to motivate us to call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to send help in time of need. Let's call upon the name of the Lord and believe God for good things this week. Can we stand to our feet? Altars open. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. Come